we remain standing and open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. And reading from the 18th verse,
if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have opened your word this morning and realizing that any man can read the words, but it takes your Holy Spirit to anoint those words and to make them come alive within our hearts. And so, Father, we're trusting that your presence among us this morning would bring to us a understanding, Lord, a new and revitalized understanding of your word, and that these words which are spoken, Father, might become quickened within us. And now we just commit this service unto thee in these trying times, Lord, when there seems to be wars and rumors of wars, and there are battles going on here and battles going on in Iraq and possibly battles coming into Korea and the different places. And Father, we know that the world is in turmoil, and yet, Lord, we know that birthing time is always a messy time. And so, Father, we realize, Lord, that we're looking for your great coming, the coming of your Son, Jesus. And Father, we're looking to meet him in the air, knowing that you yourself have come down in this hour with a shout, with a message to get us ready for the going home. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that great shout, that great message of getting back to the Word, Lord, and realizing that the spirit of and power of Elijah was to turn the hearts of the children back to the hearts of the apostolic fathers. And so, Father, we commit ourselves in Jesus' name to that process which you have begun by your descent. And so, Lord, we ask now that you would be with us in service, and may our hearts truly, Lord, come to know peace, for you said that you are our peace, who hath broken down every wall. And so, Lord, we believing that you are our peace, and we cannot receive peace in any other way except for and from within thee. And so to that peace we commit ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, in examining the 18th verse of Romans 12, we'll first begin by looking at the first part of this statement, where Paul says, if it be possible, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. And that's the key to the rest of this verse, where we are commanded to live peaceably with all men. But it all depends on what lieth in you. In other translations, such as the NIV and the Weiss translation, the verse reads, if it be possible, or if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, the word possible here is a Greek word, dunatos. And it actually comes from the root word dunamis, which speaks of power. Now, the word means to be able to do something. So we're looking at the words here. He says, if you are able, as much as lieth in you, as much as depends upon you, if you're able, live at peace with all men. All right? It also means powerful, mighty, excelling in something, strong in soul, to bear calamities and trials with fortitude and patience and strong Christian virtue. Now, the fact that the Scripture speaks of being able to do something, it places the full responsibility of your actions within you. It's within you. If it be possible with you. Or if it be possible, as far as it depends on you. Now, what if it isn't possible with us? What then? Now, in reading this verse, we see that sometimes it may not be possible for you to live in peace with all men. But it all depends on what is in you. For the word possible speaks of inner strength as a factor in your living at peace. Strong in soul, it says, to be able to bear trials and calamities with fortitude and patience. And this speaks of strong Christian virtue. We find the same Greek word used as the word able in Luke 14. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 14. And reading from verse 31. For what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? So the word there is used as able. We found in Romans 12 it was used as possible. Now, as far as we've seen, this word was translated as possible and able. But the real key lies deep within your own soul nature. For if you try to do so with just the merits of your own flesh, you most likely will fall and not be able. It will not be possible. But if your soul has been quickened to the life of God in you, then God, with God, what's the state motto in Ohio? With God, all things are possible. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, and reading from verse 23, then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's the difference. With you it's not possible. With you you're not able. But with God all things are possible. In Mark chapter 9, in reading from verse 23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, all things are able to him that believeth. All things are possible. Well, I didn't think I could do that. All things are possible. How many of you have ever competed in a sporting event of some sort? Didn't think you could do it, and you did. Or there's a certain goal or height or depth or breadth that you thought you couldn't reach, but you did. There was something that you thought you couldn't accomplish, but you did. You see, it all depends on the attitude that you have. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. But you've got to have the right mental attitude. The athlete that gets up there and he's going to go pole vault for 19 feet for the world record, I'm sure he doesn't approach that with thoughts in his mind that I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. No, he says, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And do you realize that Jesus said here that all things are possible to them that believe? All things are possible with God. Therefore, it all comes down to whether or not you want to believe that you are able. Did not the Apostle Paul tell us that God would not place any trial upon us that we are not able to bear? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and reading from verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above or to be tried above, tested above, those things which you are able. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God has not promised, or He has promised, to not put you in a place of any trial, any testing, where you cannot bear it. In Matthew 11, verse 28, we read, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yet so many people think walking a Christian walk is such a burdensome thing. I like what I heard on the radio, and I shared it, I think, either last week or the week before. But I heard a man telling a story about when he was a young boy and he went to visit his uncles and his cousins. They lived on a ranch in Florida. And the ranch had just a great expanse of land, and there was a lake on the other side of the pasture. But the pasture had a good solid barbed wire fence all the way around it. And so he came down to visit, and his uncle said, well, if you boys want to go to the lake and, you know, go swimming or whatever, he said, just make sure you walk around the fence, walk around the pasture. So him and his cousin, they started walking along, and it seemed like a long way. They had to go through some thicket and, you know, some brush and everything like that, to get around. And finally, they just kept walking and walking and said, this seems like it goes forever. So he says to his cousin, why don't we just run across. And his cousin said, well, there, you know, but he told us, you know, Dad told us that, you know, not to go through the pasture. And he said, well, you know, there's a, this fence is kind of hindering us from getting to the water. So anyway, they, you know, stretched out the barbed wire and they started heading across and got about halfway across and they noticed there was a bunch of Brahmin bulls that were in that pasture. And he said, you know, the reason why, you know, if you ever know anything about Brahmin bulls, that's the ones that they ride in the rodeo. They got a temper. And he said, they started charging. So he said, we just started making a mad dash for the other side. And finally, he said, we just dove over, got over there, and he said, we're just laying there on the ground, just puffing. And these Brahmin bulls, they come up right up to the fence, and they stop, and they're puffing. And he said, and as I looked there at that fence, I realized that the fence was put there for my benefit. And sometimes God puts fences up. He said, we don't realize the benefit. But all things shall work together for your good. You see? And so we find in Romans 8 and verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you realize that no matter what happens in this hour, whatever takes place in Afghanistan and in Iraq and in this country, you realize that you have a promise from God of a rapture, of a change of the body, and He is here to bring to pass that which He promised. But it takes His God life in you to come to maturity, to bring forth in you that promise of a change of the body. He has promised it in us and to us. And He has placed everything that you have need of for that change in you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now it's a matter of timing. It's a matter of feeding. What do you feed on? You feed on the Word. In the natural sense, when cell is, you know, when cell is compounded upon cell upon cell upon cell upon cell, that's how a body grows. And so the word body grows by adding word upon word upon word upon word upon word. It doesn't come any other way. The same water that Eliezer fed to Rebekah's camels, that camel that was fed by that water is the same camel that packed her home to meet Isaac. The same power. And so that Holy Spirit that lays within you needs to be fed and watered by the washing of water by the Word. Now in John 15 and verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Do you realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could not heal, could not save, could not redeem? He said, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Let's just turn to it, John chapter 5. Notice verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Let's look at verse 30. Verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus, the Son of God, could do nothing. And Jesus tells us For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue then in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abideth in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, we've just read where Jesus tells us that it all depends on God. We are of ourselves nothing, but he is everything. And we of ourselves can do nothing, but he is more than able. So then our focus must not be on self, but on the will of the Father. From Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, we read, "And he said, the things which are possible with men, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Just think of some things that are impossible with men. Can man change himself in the twinkling of an eye? Maybe through an atomic bomb, but that's not the change you want. There could be a lot of people changed in the twinkling of an eye in this hour when the nuclear holocaust takes place. But that's not the change we're looking for. "Therefore, if God is with you, who can be against you?" We are able. We are able because he has made us able. "And all things are possible if you would only believe. For with God all things are possible. He who gave his word is here to confirm it." Even Jesus was dependent upon God, his Father, to either give him that inner strength or to take from him the cup. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. I know that you're able, Father, to remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Paul also said that he knew for what reason he was willing to suffer, knowing that what things that he had committed under God, God was more than able to keep them for him. Return with me to 2 Timothy. We sing the song, "You know, I know whom I have redeemed," or whom I have. Well, let's just read it. "For the which cause I also suffer these things," 2 Timothy 1 and 12. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Who on their own has the ability to have children at 100 years old or 90 years old, as Abraham and Sarah did? But Abraham knew that God, who gave the promise, was more than able to perform that which he had promised. In Romans chapter 4, you're reading from verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, which is right wiseness." Now notice, it says that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Then unbelief is what causes people to stagger. The right mental attitude. Your right mental attitude towards God, or toward every divine promise of God, will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you would say, "Well, my faith is weak."
I wouldn't confess that. You see, because that's what the devil wants you to say. And why would you then want to confess the devil's words above God's words? Don't let the devil know that. You should always be saying, I've got faith. Because what is faith? It's revelation. It's something that's been revealed to you. You see? I believe God with all my heart. Don't testify nothing of the devil. And when you accept Him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed. Take Him at His word. Then it's all over. And it's placed upon God's shoulders. And not upon your own. If God made you the promise, and we have many, 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 many places in the Scripture where God promised you healing, that God is obligated to that promise. And as long as you take God at His word, then the word will produce what it promised to do. But you have to have faith. You must believe Him with all your heart. I don't know how many times we've seen God through simple faith, simple prayer, change things dramatically. You remember when Cliff came in here? Half his foot was taken off by surgery. Within a short time, that half a foot was grown back again. He had gangrene in that foot. Now, gangrene is basically death, multiplying. God stopped the death, grew back the foot. What does it? Big. Massive faith? No. Jesus said if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's all you have to have. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith in the Son of God, but by His faith. He's the one that went to the cross, not you and I. He bore your sin, not you and I. And so if we would take His faith that He had in the Father and apply it to ourself. Father, not my will, but Thine be done. The biggest conflict we've got is our will. And if we could be like the Son of God and say, not my will, Father, but Thine be done. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows Him. He said, the words that I speak, the Father taught me, therefore I speak them. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. And then He said, I did not come to do my will, but to the will of Him that sent me. As it is written in the book, I have come to do Thy will, O God. Four little things. His actions, God's actions. His word, God's words. His doctrine, God's doctrine. And His will. If we could just give our own will. Not my will, but Thine be done. Any divine promise of God, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And if you can look at it right and believe it in the way that it was written and say, God, it's Your word, and take the right mental attitude towards that divine promise, it'll bring it to pass. Faith cannot be defeated. There's no defeat in faith. Watch the ministry of our Lord. He did not claim to be a great person. He's born in a way that He came in the way of a stable door. Went out the way of capital punishment. Owned about one garment in His lifetime. Never had a place to lay His head. Never went very far. He traveled very humbly. He lived among the peasants. He spoke a very common language. He was no great person, nor did He claim to be. But the Bible says that He made of Himself no reputation. He made of Himself no reputation. And yet the man that can make the plastic eye, he makes a reputation for himself. But the God who gave you all eyes came in simplicity. The one who can give you the hearing aid or the artificial ear, he makes a great reputation for himself. But the God who gave everyone ears made Himself of no reputation. Now think about that.
The man can put together a little piece of plastic, shape it in the form of a noose. He makes a great reputation for himself, but the God who gave everyone nose to breathe, to smell, made himself no reputation. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Why? Because the Word of God is a seed that the sower went forth sowing. Now the farmer, when he's got the seed, if he's got the right mental attitude, he plants it, he waters it, and he sits back and waits for it to grow. He doesn't say, well, you know, I planted all this seed out there, and I've watered that seed out there, and I just hope it comes up the same thing that I planted. I put corn in the ground. I hope I don't get cockleburs. If you put corn in the ground, you're going to get corn. If someone comes along and plants cockleburs, some cockleburs will come up. But what you planted, what you've watered, will bring forth after its kind. That's the right mental attitude. To say it is the Word of God. It is, thus saith the Lord. God said it. It's got to happen. And if you plant that seed in the ground, in your heart, it'll bring forth in you what God said. If you believe for anyone to go in the rapture, you believe for yourself. God, I knew that you had elected seed. Your Bible speaks of a bride coming up, an elect coming up, being transformed by the renewing of their mind. And Lord, I believe that's me. If there be one here, one taken there, two in the bed, one taken, one left. Two in the village, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. Two in the city, one taken, one left. You believe that you're that one. God, I know that Word speaks of me. Find yourself in the Word because you're there. If you were in the Lamb's book before the foundations of the world, you're in this Word. Oh, yes, you are. You might not have your name spelled out right here in the King James Version, but there's all kinds of descriptiveness about you. There's a people. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. That's me, see? I hunger and I thirst, therefore I'll be filled. That speaks about me. That tells me about myself. You see? We'll be transformed by the renewing of the mind. I know my mind is being renewed daily. The outer man may be perishing, but the inner man is being renewed daily. That Word speaks of me. That's me it's talking about. Jesus said the sower sowed. And if you'll just take it in your heart and don't dig it up every day to see how it's getting along, but just sink it right deep into your heart, that'll settle it. That's all. Walk right along with God, and God will take care of the rest. He's obligated to His Word. Do you know that everything that you see in this hour is God's Word materialized? You realize everyone in here this morning is material? Is the Word of God materialized? Do you realize that these pews are made from trees? God said, let there bring forth every tree in the garden, and He brought forth and He planted the seeds in the earth. Those trees have come forth because of the Word of God. Do you realize cement and the dust and the pavement and all these things is things that God spoke into existence before the foundations of the world? He spoke it, and then He brought it to pass, materialized it. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the very flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, and the very soul that crieth out to God, that identifies with Him as Father, Abba Father. God's Word spoke it. And when you see yourself hungering and thirsting, you know that's Word being fulfilled. That's manifested Word. Hallelujah. You know your body is God's Word materialized? When that farmer plants those beans, you know that those beans, when they come forth, that's God's Word materialized. He that soweth shall also reap. You know that the concrete under these floors is God's spoken Word materialized. You know that this whole earth is
God spoke it. He said, let there be, and he believed his own word.
And the earth came into existence. God believed his own word. That's why Paul said, the faith I live by isn't my faith, it's the faith of the Son of God. And if it didn't, if it wasn't God's word materialized, where'd it come from?
Well, you say come off the sun.
Well, who spoke the sun into existence? You see, everything is God's word. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The Bible said so. God spoke it, and he believed his own word.
And that's what it cost. And if we're to come into his image, then we've got to believe that same word.
We've got to have the same attitude. Let this attitude which was in Christ be in you. That's what the Greek word says. It says, let this mind, it says, actually let this attitude be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Father, I would that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, this is why I came into this world. Therefore, not my will, but thine be done. 18 times the scripture tells us God raised up Jesus from the dead. And yet the Pharisees, they couldn't understand, because sometimes when Jesus was talking to them, it sounded like a man. Other times, it was the very God of the heavens. And they didn't understand that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And if we be sons and daughters of God, the very God life that was in Christ, moving him along toward his destiny, is the very thing that's moving you toward your destiny as sons and daughters of Christ, because Paul said that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, who was the firstborn among many brethren. And so Jesus is our brother. When he raised from the dead, he said, Go tell my brethren that I ascend unto my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. That's why the Bible tells us that the whole host of heaven and earth will be named Jesus. I came in my Father's name, it was Kasoric. I've come in my other Father's name, my real Father's name, and my name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. That's what makes us brothers and sisters, because we have the same Father, Jehovah Savior. Jesus means Jehovah Savior. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke, he tells us how to test our abilities. In Luke 12 and verse 25, he says, and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is in the least, why take ye thought for the rest? In other words, he is telling them that if you can't even do for yourselves those things which affect you alone, then how can you expect to do anything greater? But then he tells them the key. He says, God himself is able. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what things you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of those things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms, and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, he's saying, look, don't be storing up your treasure here, because it'll perish. You know, if the government doesn't take it first, it'll wax old, it'll rust, it'll corrupt. But store up treasure in heaven. In other words, get yourself focused on receiving the promise. Don't be thinking of how that you'll receive it, but focus on receiving it and possessing it. And that's the key. Think in terms of already having, past tense, received it, because God who is able has promised it, and he is not a man that he could lie. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, we read, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound in every good work. Sometimes it gets upsetting. You know, you try to help people overseas, and we built several houses this past year for brothers over there. I think 5 houses in Africa, 2 in the Philippines. Given brothers motorized vehicles and everything else to help them to preach the gospel. I had one minister come back, and he said, "You know, I really need your help with this." He said, "I've come to depend on you." I said, "How dare you?" I wrote back, I said, "How dare you depend on any man? God should be your portion." Some of the brothers from Minneapolis were having trouble with the same pastor because they had were giving him started off giving him $100 a month, which the national average is $300 for a year for family in Uganda. They were giving this brother $100 a month. They bought him a motorcycle. We helped the brother repair his home. And he started writing on a regular basis. They started giving him more. They had the income there, so they were setting him $300 a month. And they said, and yet he still kept coming back and asking for help for things here and there. And I said, "Brothers," I said, "you spoiled it." I said, "I hope that you haven't destroyed that man. Because if you give him all, then he has no need to go to God." It's all right when we assist and help. But when you take over the man's livelihood, when you take over everything for them, you completely destroyed that person. I know a certain minister, I love him dearly. He used to send, you know, if they needed 1,000, he sent them 10. And I went to him, I said, "You're doing it wrong. You're destroying those people." And later on he came back to find out that he was. He said, "You know, you're right. Because you send them 10 and they need 20. Where were they when they had nothing? They were serving God, depending on God for every morsel of food. And they had a relationship with God, a commitment with God. And they could call upon God and miraculously the food would be there." And that's the thing, we must be careful. And I've been ever so careful when we help these brothers overseas. Because when I see them get to the point where they all of a sudden are depending upon, that's when I cut them off or cut them back. Brother Branham said, "You know, when the bullet goes off," he said, "you got to go back to where it went off." You know, when Mary and Joseph left Jesus at the age of 12 in Bethlehem. It was Bethlehem? Anyway, when they went to pay their taxes. And they left him behind. Where did they find him at? Just where they left him. They adventured for 3 days. And in those 3 days, Mary lost her testimony. She came back and she saw him debating with the teachers and scholars in the synagogue or in the temple. And she said, "Your father and I have been looking for you." And he said, "Woman, don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, if he's about Joseph's business, he would have been in the carpenter shop. But he was in the temple, bringing the word of God, the doctrine of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. She lost her testimony by leaving him. But she had to come back to get him where she left him. And that's the same thing. When that bullet goes off at the very front, it's going to be off, way off, by the time it gets to this target. And when you leave the word of the Lord, that's where you have to come back. And when people try to help too much in the mission fields, they got to come back to where they were before. Just cut it off. That's why we take those things very, very carefully. I don't mind helping a man with his home, transportation so he can get out. They've started up many, many churches over there because this church has given transportation to those pastors. One man alone has started 3 churches in the past 6 months. So those are good things, but you know, you can give him a motorcycle, you can give him a something like that, but you don't have to go out and buy them a Mercedes-Benz. Don't have to buy them a new Jeep. Just get them there. And send 20 bicycles in December. That's help pastors to be able to go to their flock and to be with their flock and help their flock. They don't need a Harley Davidson. You know? In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, we always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what they look for. But it's the mental attitude that you have. Remember, and never forget, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And the right mental attitude towards any promise of God, it doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere if you're a Christian and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand on. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, and in Him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and all the great powers of God was in His Son, Christ Jesus. For the Scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. All things were delivered unto Him, though He spoke nothing but what the Father told Him. He healed no one but what He saw first to be healed. And He said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but He seeth the Father doing. And that's what He did. The Bible tells us in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. It doesn't take a great gift of healing to lay hands on the sick. If you believe it, it'll happen. I remember when Christina had 104 temperature. I was preaching up at Brother Vail's. He was sick down in Tucson at the time. I was taking the communion services and I was getting ready to leave, and I had a half hour before I had to leave, and I usually would take the family with me. And I'd go up there and preach our communion service on Saturday night, preach our morning service Sunday morning. Then we had our service at 2 o'clock when we rented that church when we first started out. So the family would come with me, and we'd stay in the motel Saturday night. And then we'd go to the motel after preaching, and then get up in the morning. We'd preach and then head down, and we'd drive straight. And I'd tell the song leader, just keep singing until we get there. Well, this particular time, Chrissy was very sick. She had 103 temperature. And I prayed for her, and I went upstairs 15 minutes later, checked it, and she's still sick. And so I said, well, if nothing happens in 15 minutes, I'm going to have to leave. Now, she was 3 years old. Elizabeth was 4 years old. Elizabeth went upstairs. I didn't know what she's doing. She came back down. She said, Dad, she's healed. I prayed for her. 4 years old. Dad, she's healed. I prayed for her. So we went upstairs, took the thermometer with us, checked her out. Her temperature is normal. The faith of a four-year-old. It doesn't take a great healing ministry to pray for the sick. It's based upon God's Word and your faith in God's Word. How many of you fretting and stewing and wondering about what's going to happen overseas? Didn't Ephesians 2 and 14 tell us He is our peace? He is our peace. My peace does not depend upon my government's ability to protect me. My peace comes from Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't need AK-47s and buzz bombs and all the stuff. But he said, but is mighty, is able through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yeah, U.S. has their technology. But in the days of Moses, in the days of Joshua, I wouldn't call blowing seven trumpets seven times a great technical feat, but the walls came down nevertheless. Hallelujah. Amen? 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. That I am made able. Hallelujah. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Because it's a seed. And if the right mental attitude, and you just take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise, Watch it materialize, no matter how it looks. If it looks impossible, if God said so, He makes it possible. God takes the impossible and makes it possible.
How many believe God is in His Word? The Bible said that the Word of God is like a seed that a man soweth. And you know, we have people that raise a lot of things, oranges, citrus fruits, and all kinds of trees. You know, when you plant it, when it's just planted in the ground, you don't see the oranges, you don't see the apples, you don't see the citrus fruits. But you know they're there. When that little acorn goes into the ground, you know one thing. When that thing that starts sprouting up, that's a oak tree. Why? Because everything it had need of was in that seed. And this word, brother and sister, is a seed. Everything you have need of. You have need of healing, it's there. You have need of mental rest, it's there. You have need of financial help, it's there. You have need of a closer relationship with one another, it's there. With the Lord, it's there. Reprieve from distress, it's there. Safety, it's there. Comfort, it's there. You have a wonderful book of seeds. You just need to plant them. Now, where do I plant them? Right here. You plant the Word of God in your soul, and you watch the fruits of that Word become materialized in your life. In the book of Titus, we read, chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful Word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. And notice, he may be able by sound doctrine. So the doctrine is a seed. And when it grows and takes over like a tree, it makes you able. And in Jude 1 and verse 20, in closing, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we realize, Lord, that with you all things are possible. And Father, we would pray that our focus would be correct. Our focus would be upon you. That we would take a hold of your word with the right mental attitude. Receive it in our heart. And that it might materialize what promise we have watered. Abraham had a promise. 25 years in the making had a promise. And as his body grew weaker and weaker and older, he got more excited knowing the great miracle that God would do, because he believed God. And he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. And you considered his attitude, his belief as righteousness. As a Father, may we also be just clothed with that righteousness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have the musicians come up. And
let's just sing that song in closing from 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
No Wednesday night service this week. Communion will be next Saturday at 6:30.